J10, number 3A.
All right, so this is very, very important for us to see the beginning and then with the mental stage. Now, again, always wanting to love where the world is and bring it forward with our subject. Let's see then how we can help those perhaps without a Christian Science background embrace the 8 steps. That's got to be important so we don't just try to get the church scientists. We want to be able to talk to the Paul Davies. We want to be able to talk to these new scientists and show them that what we see with the model of being as what is reality, and our 8 ordered steps on how we become one with reality is applicable to what they're searching for. And I know we can make that breakthrough, and we will make that breakthrough, and I'm sure we will have the opportunity to discuss these issues. So we want to see other ways of bringing in examples besides just the textbook. So we see here then that Gebser, who was a German culture philosopher, has taken the big cultural steps that have happened in the world in about 5 different steps. Very simple, but very important. He said, first of all, mankind in consciousness in its steps has gone from that archaic stage and of the caveman, that really consciousness there was more or less like a dot consciousness within the womb of the cave, a very, very primitive beginning of consciousness, but it was consciousness. We know that. Then as man moved out of the cave predominantly, and came to a magical stage of tribal man where he felt totally interwoven with nature, and we got the birth of magic. Anything that happened, whether it was fire, earth, air, and water, was attributed to being interwoven with nature, and it was all a very magical belief. The powers of the world were all magical forces at work. Then another step came forward, a little bit more out of just saying it was magic, to a mythical stage where we have mythical man or the birth of mythology. Really, today our consciousness of the unconscious realm goes back to these archetypal beliefs of man in mythology. We'll touch on this again a little further down the line in more detail and its implications. But we had the birth of mythology, where it was reasoned then that if perhaps somebody died, then the god of death caused it to be so. Or if there any event would cause a myth, whether there was an earthquake, then it was a god of thunder causing the earthquake. Everything was that happened in our daily life was reduced to some god behind the event. And that god, of course, then was worshipped, and various rituals and et cetera and symbols were built around these various gods of mythology, as we know and we'll discuss again in more detail. Then he came to another stage four, which he said was a mental stage. Really now there, where we begin our 8 steps, he said that consciousness evolved much more towards an accentuation on the mental, and that came out through the Age of Reasoning around 500 BC, and again with its renaissance around 1500 AD, where we had then the works, of course, of Socrates, and then his student Plato, and then, of course, Aristotle in his Aristotelian logic of a two-valued logic, which, of course, at the time was necessary. We had to come out of a mythical belief of the world, and that two valued logic put order into the universe. It began to let us differentiate categories. And when you get differentiation, we get order. The only thing is, today we see that his logic was such that good had a value and evil had a value. And Mrs. Eddy said her logic was a dual conceptual logic, that to her, evil was not real and good was real. So she only had one value, good, and that evil was an illusion, unreal, a counterfeit belief that only God good is going on. Then after that mental stage, really, he saw then that there was another stage, which was a fifth stage, of which he called an integral stage. Really a stage then where he felt was coming in at around 1850 to the 1900s, where we see the time of Mrs. Eddy and her work. This was the stage of the new consciousness, really a stage that he said was dealing much more away from dualism, but somehow he said that there was a consciousness of a one-valued logic coming in, a logic of all is mind, but to him it was all was a small mind. To us, our monism is the one-value logic that all is a capital mind. But to Gebser, it was all was a small mind. And this is a stage that we know where Mrs. Eddy discovered all was a capital mind when it set her thought to new work in new channels. But he was making this stage just at the time she discovered that all was mortal mind, which causes its effect on the physical. Then she went into another channel to see all was mind. But at least he was seeing that there was a stage that came in that was bringing in a monistic belief and putting the accentuation on all was small mind. So that, I think, is quite good. So we see then that we not only move towards the sense out of a mystical, mythical explanation, but come much more into the sense then is all is mind and matter is nothing but a mental construction. So let's take a look at that in our work. What, dear? German. A cultural philosopher. He looked at their. He was a philosopher who looked at cultural history and the history of mankind, and just gave these big philosophical breaks in the development of the culture according to the consciousness of mankind. Now we see. Then we come to our sense now of the eight ordered steps to our oneness with being, and we will just look quickly at the steps. We'll just talk them out, and then we will begin our logical development. Now we know that this is coming from Kapler's book, The Ordered Approach to the One Being, and that Max Kapler also gives us on page 58 a nice simple diagram of these eight ordered steps in his book, A Study Aid for the Study of the Science of Christian Science. So in his study aid on 58, we find these steps as they are given in their logical order, as we will take them together, in their infinite meaning and infinite ramifications for our consciousness, and how it has impacted the world awareness. So first of all, we see it's a step from metaphysics to science, the order steps of finding man's oneness with being, really resolving then our personal I into the I am. very important, and we will talk about how in this resolving of the personal I into the I am, it's not mysticism. It's not such that we get sucked up into the I am and lose our identity. Each one of these steps will maintain our identity, but just resolve any sense of the that the I is a god of mythology, and it will resolve any sense that we have a mind of our own that is separate from the mind of God. This exercise alone will then allow us to see the world as God sees the world, to see the reality pattern as it is and not as it's reversed. And through these exercises, step by step, through the inner logic of the exercise, we drop off seeing the pattern in reversal, and step by step the true image appears. We are really lifting off the restraint of the belief that we have a mentality of our own, that we're a god unto ourselves, that whole second record of creation. And we take on the view of the divine mind. And that is then what we are, to be set free. So therefore, the ascending way we see is the way of metaphysics, the contemplation of ideas. And we see this is just ordinary metaphysics as in the philosophical realm, that where, as we will note, that even within ordinary metaphysics, there are also these orderly steps of seeing, to begin with, one, that all is mental. That we see. And then step two, that the mental can be good and evil. Then we begin to see that this ordinary metaphysics begins to blend into what we call divine metaphysics. We begin to see already that there is a need to come out of that mentality under the claim of how do we know whether something's good or how do we know whether something's evil. Maybe we're thinking evil and calling it good. So we have to come into divine metaphysics, which is thinking in a divine standard of reference and in the impersonal divine values that constitute a impersonal standard of being, really what we would call thinking in terms of the ideas of the synonyms for God. Already those ideas that are defined in the textbook for what God is, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, give us an impersonal standard from which to identify our consciousness with, so that our consciousness begins to identify with more and more reality values than just with what we think is good and what we think or call evil. And once we begin to identify more and more with the ideas of the synonymous terms for God, we and see how these ideas constitute our consciousness, then these ideas in a step four in divine metaphysics begin to interrelate with each other. That all those ideas under what we studied as mind begin to interrelate and build a tone mind. And the ideas that we studied under spirit begin to interrelate and give us a tone spirit. And the ideas under soul, principle, life, truth, and love begin to interrelate and give us a tone called soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So we begin to think more in terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, as Mrs. Eddy defined God on page 464 in the textbook. Then we see that once we are beginning to think more in terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love through the ideas which characterize these synonymous terms, our consciousness comes a step further. And we take science now and see how it's the contemplation of the Infinite One, including all ideas. We have now touched what we call the levels of spiritual consciousness. We come a step further out of divine metaphysics into scientific metaphysics, and we begin to identify ourselves much more with the levels of spiritual consciousness, as Max shows us in his book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness. We begin to identify with a consciousness at step five of the Christian Science level, where we will see in our exercises how only then the synonym of God in us can be one with the synonym of God. How only mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in us can be one with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Once we see that, we say, well, who is and what is this mind that is one with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? You see, we're trying to resolve duality. We're trying to get out of our mind view and just see it as God sees it, with no duality there at all. So at step five, and we'll do our exercise there, we'll see, well, if only the synonym of God in us can be one with the synonym of God. So if only the mind in us can be one with mind, what's this is us? And we say, oh, in step six, well, really, it is that law of life, truth, and love that thinks our mind. You see, that's what those physicists saw. That step six, absolute Christian Science law of interdependent of the word, where the word at absolute Christian Science, which is the law of life, truth, and love, has its impact on Christian Science. We learn through the law of interdependence of the word, saying then that life, truth, and love is the mind of us. It thinks us. Life, truth, and love is the spirit of us. Life, truth, and love is the soul of us. Life, truth, and love is the principle of us. Life, truth, and love is the life, truth, and love of us. That we're being thought by life, truth, and love, the law of life, truth, and love. Principle God makes us think what we have to think, and the law is bringing to us what we have to think. We're being thought. The brain doesn't think. Divine mind thinks, and it's this law that comes to us, and that we're being, the divine mind thinks us according to a very lawful order, a very lawful way. That mind, divine mind makes us think according to a law. And that law is life, truth, and love that makes us think the way we must think. We'll see that. So we're being thought by God according to laws. And therefore, we see then, if life, truth, and love is the I of us, if life, truth, and love thinks us, therefore, on step seven, the divine science level, we're resolving the personal I into the I am. Then finally, on divine science, the synonyms of God are the I or ego. On divine science, we get the final resolving of duality. After that level, the issue of the separation between God and man never occurs any longer. It is on the divine science level that we have that statement on page 465 in the textbook, that principle in its idea is one, and this one is principle, where it's principle, operating principle, which we see in our laws on divine science, that the I has been resolved into showing really that really at that standpoint we are just taking the consciousness of mind, that it's I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love. And if we've done our exercise correctly, at that point we see the reality pattern as it is. And you know, Mrs. Eddy said Jesus was at work in divine science. He was a natural divine science. And she said she did her healing from that point of divine science when they knew that they had no other mind than the mind which is God, and that they were seeing the world as mind sees the world, as spirit sees the world, as soul sees the world, as principle, life, truth, and love sees the world. No longer as mortal mind, matter, sense testimony, personality, death, mortal consciousness, or body reference sees the world. In fact, on that level, the law says that that system of reference is excluded or precluded. It doesn't exist. The question of death doesn't come up any longer from that consciousness. With a consciousness filled with the allness of God and its idea, against such a consciousness there is no law. So through our exercises, and if we're faithful to the orderly exercises from step 1 to 7, we will have resolved the personal I. It is gone, and there's only then the I, which is God. And we are seeing the world as Jesus saw it, beholding in science the perfect universe, including man. And this correct view healed the sick, because he saw the reality pattern of each one of us, in spite of the illusion, and that healed. He demanded it. Lazarus, come forth. The man born blind, come forth to the standpoint and show me your true reality pattern. Jesus demanded the demonstration. Jesus showed us his demonstration. Jesus showed us the possibility of what happens when we have that Christ consciousness. What happens when we go out from divine science with a consciousness filled with the allness of God in its idea, and when we see the world as God sees the world? Jesus says, if we have gone the way, and I am the way, follow me. I'm the great exemplar. If we've gone that way and we have done these ordered steps to the oneness with being, then we too are seeing the world as God sees the world. And he says, and that heals. And he said, I show you my demonstrations through healing the man born blind. I show you my demonstrations through these various feeding the multitude with the fishes. I show you my demonstration through the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Now here is my cup, drink ye all of it. I have taken you, as Mrs. Eddy said, up to that mountaintop, and I have shown you the view. Now, you work step by step up through science and understanding yourself. So Jesus said, I go unto my Father, and greater things than these ye shall do. Well, the greater things is that through science and understanding, we will understand this subject and also be able to offer it to others on a basis of understanding and not just somebody showing what they can do. We can learn it and help others do the same thing on a science. So he was the exemplar. And so naturally we know at this point we would never take Jesus as the vicarious salvation. We know then that is how fundamental Christians take it, that he did it for us all. We see that that because of the Christ idea, we are forced to learn these exercises in order, through science and understanding, to have the wisdom and purity and scientific understanding that brings us the spiritual power to heal. It's all so orderly. Isn't it wonderful how Mrs. Eddy says, nothing happens out of order. Everything happens for the right order of unfoldment for you. Well, here it is, huh? Till finally, on the level of divine science, where the I has been resolved into the I God, we are catapulted into the realm consciousness of science itself, into that consciousness which we call the 8,000-year period or the eighth day. There in the Bible, we already see that eighth day, which comes after the seventh day. It's that day where it says, these are the generations, that the seed was in the ground before it grew. It shows that everything was and always has been in a state of perfection. It looks like we, through the Christ impulse, have had to make the discovery. As Mrs. Eddy said, Jesus was a natural divine scientist to those born of the flesh, into the belief of the flesh, into the belief of the reverse pattern and all that goes on in the belief system of that reverse pattern. Coming out of that belief would be a discovery. And therefore, this is our method of discovery. And once we enter into that realm of science itself, there only then the consciousness of the I am. It has been resolved through science and understanding. up to the point that all there is now is the one I aming. And we know that am means the substantive verb to be. So the one I is being. The one I is infinitely being. And therefore it's the I am that I am of the science level, where the I am is being its own infinite I am. And we have gone through science and past science into being itself. And our consciousness has gone from the irrational through the rational to the irrational, above rationality. In the level of science itself, we don't have to think any longer. The divine mind doesn't think. It's just an experience. And we have gone through books and past books into being itself. We have gone through teachers and past teachers into the experience itself. It's like John Dorley has said, we have gone through the learning music and past learning music into the realm of music itself. Or we could say we've gone through learning art and past learning art into the realm of art itself or literature itself. It's an experience of just being all the infinite possibilities of God without having to think them out. Subject and object are one. It's a consciousness of just being. And as we've seen now, we are set free to master the infinite idea and the infinite possibilities of experience. Where on that level of consciousness, which is a consciousness that cannot be divided, it's that whole consciousness, that holistic consciousness, where the whole is greater than its sum of its parts. All of us have the one view of reality. It isn't that everyone is in their own virtual realm. Starting on step one, we all were in our own virtual mental realms, weren't we? Locked into the way I see the world, the way Dick sees the world, the way perhaps the rest of us in the class sees the world. And in the mental realm in step one, there's never any agreement, because it's all based on self-justification. Each one of us are convinced that we're right. And it's hard to break into a virtual reality. Each one is so convinced that their little world, the virtual realm, is right. And one little virtual realm of reality called Joel is side by side to another little virtual realm of reality called Dick on the mental realm, if we bought into it, right? And that we can't communicate because Dick has his own way of seeing the world. It's all relative to a system of reference, as Einstein said, on the mental realm. And on the mental realm, I would have my way of seeing the world. And Mrs. Eddy says that that is a realm of self-justification. We each justify our world, and there's no communication. That those virtual worlds have to be broken out of. This isn't easy, because we all are convinced that our own virtual reality world is right. And we know the work that goes on in virtual reality today. They put these hoods on top of us, and we see this whole other world, don't we? And we get lost in it. And that is, I would say, could be a very difficulty of this age. You know, Mrs. Eddy said, once we break into the mental realm, it will be hell let loose, because everybody will be seeing their own world according to their own little virtual realm. They're locked into this. And nobody wants to be proven wrong. And that's the religionist attitude. And we have that with Waco, Texas, with David Koresh, when he, a fanatic cult leader, cannot be proven wrong. They either, you accept the world view or you all die with me. And that's a virtual world. It's hypnotism. Virtual reality is hypnotism. They get locked into the cult leader's suggestion of what the world is like according to their view. Now, if we take it as a religion, each one listens to that cult leader and through hypnotic suggestions builds that worldview. We know how some of those people felt very sorry that they weren't in that complex and died with the others in David Koresh's world. They lamented it. They cried and cried that they had gone out for a break and that they missed the opportunity. Well, you see, it's a hypnotic suggestion. Then each one has its mind's many. That's what that reverse means, mind's many. It means each one's locked into the world. There's no communication. Well, that's the necessity for states and stages of consciousness and the ordered steps to break us out of the mind's many to see the world as from the science level, only from the infinite mind God. And then we're all looking out from the same worldview. None of us have these many worldviews. And the communication is together, and there we all meet. Whether the departed or us, we have the same worldview. There can't be a here and a there if we're out from the science level. It's impossible. And Mrs. Eddy said that this whole system of reference is too ridiculous to last. We will find out that there's only one worldview.